So we're going to do the seven real quick. It won't take very long, but we're going to talk about seven signs of the end of the age, seven signs that prove we're in the last days. However, first, we're going to talk quickly about some of the comments we've been getting on Facebook, because I think it's very important. This is a very important topic, and I talk about it on my channel every so often, and it's about the use of the names. You'll notice often on my channel, on my videos, and in person, I often use the word God, Lord, Father, Creator, and I don't use a lot of the Hebrew. I'm learning Hebrew. I'm very, you know, comfortable using Hebrew when I'm in the right audience, okay? So I just want to ask, I just want to go through a few slides here real quick with you. Have you ever met someone who talks like this? Hey, Aki, this past Shabbat was a great outpouring of the Ruach HaKodesh at our Kahal Ecclesia. The Mishpacha cried out for Teshuvah and for Yahuwah to send Yeshua to deliver Yisrael upon the Haaretz. You ever met someone who talks like that? It's okay. It's just sometimes a little annoying, especially if you're not familiar or if you're new with what's going on here. Okay, you're new coming into a Shabbat assembly. You've realized you've been reading your Bible, and you're like, you know what? I really think we ought to be keeping the Shabbat. I really think we may not, you know, should not be eating some of these things that we've been eating. And so you come to a fellowship that you know they keep the Shabbat, and you meet someone like that because they believe that's the way you should talk. The person who's new, who's coming into this for the first time, who's seeking out for the first time, is going to be like, wah! In their mind is going to be, what are you talking about? What is I know about Sabbath, but what is the Shabbat? You know, what is Shalom? What is Yeshua? What is Teshuvah? What is the Ruach HaKodesh? You know, amongst a lot of people, we know this, we get this, right? Amongst many of ourselves. But for the person who's new at your fellowship, I caution you to be cautious, you know, to slowly bring these people in to this. And it's because I am new to Torah. That's my channel, new to Torah. Most of the people who watch my videos, who find my channel, are new to Torah, brand new to Torah. And so if you start using words they don't understand, they can be off-put by that. It was very scary for me and my wife when we first discovered this. You know, we didn't know a lot. We wanted to learn. But, you know, if someone had spoken to us like this, I may have been a little bit more nervous about what I was getting into. Okay, so just keep that in mind. When a lot of people come against me or they speak against me when it comes to using the name, I know the name. And now there's differences also. People have differences in the name. You have to use this name or that name. You know, if I choose a name to say on my channel, I'm going to have half my audience telling me I'm wrong. So that's one of the reasons I don't use it. But we can all agree that Yod Heh Vav Heh is our creator, is our father. Okay, these are things that we know. And people are familiar with the use of God or Lord. Okay, does that make sense? Okay, so be cautious. Is everything okay? All right. Someone's running. I always, you know. Yeah. He's like, no, it's Jehovah. Okay. Okay. Seven scriptural proofs of the last days. We'll go through these quickly. They're very interesting. I found them to be interesting. I'd like to share them with you. This is all one of my most watched videos online to date on my New Tutorial channel at YouTube. You can find more stuff at newtutorial.com if you're interested or if you're online. And we'll start off this way. There are many scriptural proofs that showcase the fact that today we are living in what the Bible calls the last days. But in this study, we're going to count down the top seven most undeniable scriptural proofs that the time of tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble, is about to begin. This presentation is not meant to generate fear or anxiety. Okay, when these things happen, and they're happening right now, when they start to accelerate even more, the heathens of the world are going to tremble in fear. And that's not what our Father wants for us. He wants to have hope. He wants to have encouragement. He wants us to have, you know, be ready for the deliverance that is coming, because that's what's coming. Okay? But see, the heathen of the world will not see that. They'll see it as uncertainty, and it will develop fear. And fear leads into all kinds of other problems. Some of these scriptural proofs you may have heard of before. They may be very familiar to you, but others are going to be less well-known and I believe are easily proven relevant today, right now. So in the top seven scriptural proofs that we are living in the last end times, number seven, the age of scoffers. It says, 2 Peter 3, verse 3, knowing this first, there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust. Today, it's increasingly unpopular to uphold the Bible as truth. Say, this is the truth. This is the truth. That's extremely unpopular today. Even in many Protestant churches today, where I come from, it was a lot of other churches that kind of went away from the Bible, and the Protestant churches were the champions, the evangelicals were the champions of the Bible. Even today, they are falling away from the Bible and upholding it as truth. Most Christian universities today teach evolution as fact and the biblical six-day creation as just fanciful writing. These are just stories, you know, neat stories. That's all they are. This verse in 2 Peter chapter 3 even lays out what some of the scoffing is about, a biblical worldwide flood, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. That's verse 6. Today, this is one of the most scoffed at notions in religious and secular universities, that a worldwide flood actually took place and wiped out almost all of humanity. Yet the verses clearly state that scoffers will come and focus on the flood in the last days. My wife attended a Christian university in California. Today, I don't even know how you can call it a Christian university. They promote all kinds of lawlessness, even for Christians. You know, that the Bible is just fanciful. The flood never happened. It's all about evolution. They're teaching all this in their college. It's a Christian college. The Christian colleges today are not biblical. They're not biblically based. All right, number six, perilous times. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. And then in verse 4, it says, traitors, heedy, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That's in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. That's today. We're seeing that right now. Can anyone with an accurate view of history identify a more evident time where people openly sinned in public without a care about who knew or who was watching? You have university students walking around displaying sexual replicas of male anatomy or openly admitting sins of the Bible and being allowed to maintain a status of authority, a legal system that allows open murder of human beings and a government that pays for it all. I encounter all kinds of people on my channel who send me emails or I talk to face-to-face. Zach, everyone's always thought these were the last days when they lived in the last days. Okay, that's true. There were people in the 60s in America, you know, at the turn of the century, in the 1900s. But you know what? People didn't sin openly like they do today. It wasn't just out there, you know, in a blatant rebellion in the face of our Father. It wasn't. It was done in secret. It was done behind closed doors. It was done, but it was not open. Today we are in open rebellion. All of humanity is. The whole world, all of it, has forgotten what sin is and is no longer shamed by it. That's why these things are out in the open. We've come to hate good and love evil. We hate life and love death. As Paul wrote, these indeed are the perilous times of the last days. Number five, we've talked about this before, Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. But you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. The time of the end, it says. Now, we've talked about this. Many shall run to and fro. Today, you can board a plane in New York City and in less than 24 hours be in some of the most remote parts of the planet, the most parts of China. This was unheard of just 100 years ago. When you look out of an airplane at the clouds below, do you realize you're seeing something that 99.999% of all of humanity that has ever lived on planet Earth has ever seen before? That's a remarkable time. Today, people make trips across the country that every holiday season, trips that even 100 years ago would have been only one way for most people. People today are truly running to and fro. You were telling me at lunch that you want to go to Minneapolis coming up soon to see your family. That's unheard of. She's talking about traveling on the other side of the planet. 100 years ago, no one did that. No one did it and came back. It was a one-way trip. Well, when you make a trip like that, you do it, unless you were a sailor on a merchant ship. You did that as a way to just live there. When you were traveling, you were going to live there. But today, I can go there and I'll be back next week. It says, and knowledge shall be increased. It's impossible today to actually calculate how much information is on the internet. Knowledge has grown beyond the ability to measure it, literally. Today, you can go on YouTube and learn how to be a mechanic or fly a plane or grow onions or install solar panels. That's what I did. That's how I learned to install my solar panels. YouTube. You can literally learn any aspect of world history, biology, mathematics, engineering, and all from multiple points of view. Knowledge has increased, and it says it will do so at the time of the end. Number four, the fullness of the Gentiles. We also touched on this a little bit. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise, be in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. All the rabbis asked, how will the northern kingdom come home? It was a mystery. Many Christians might be familiar with this verse, but many fail to understand that Paul is referencing the prophecy given by Jacob to his grandson Ephraim back in Genesis and a verse in Daniel. Quickly read through this. You've seen this before this week, but it's good to get it driven into your heads because this is one of the biggest ways you can go and spread the word, because this is the gospel. The gospel is that anyone can be grafted in. Anyone can come home. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall be a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. Jacob told Joseph that his son Ephraim would be great among the nations, the Gentiles. Not great as in powerful, but great as in numbers. I mean, great amongst the nations. A lot of people see great as in something big. Americans especially, because everything in America is big. When I first got here, I told him, I was like, man, the cars here are so small. Because in America, everyone drives big cars. It's just the way, in my where I come from, it's just what we think. Great means big. But that's not what it's saying here. Great can also be many. And it means many scattered. Great amongst nations. You guys... A lot of you guys have come up to me this week and told me, you know what, I'm just by myself. And then someone else comes, I'm just by myself, just me and a couple other people. You're scattered, but you're great because there's a lot of you scattered. Does that make sense? And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Daniel 12, verse 7. This verse also directly is connected to the prophecy given by Jacob and the spoken of by Paul in Romans chapter 11. These verses are connected. We, you and I, happen to live in a place in history where all of the earth has been explored and its people groups have been made known to each other. With the exception of a tribe or two of people and located deep in the Amazon and some parts of Africa, all of humanity has been discovered and explored over the entire planet. What does this mean? It means that humanity has encompassed the earth as a whole, round or flat, doesn't matter. We've been everywhere. The seed of Jacob has a multitude of nations, and the fullness of the Gentiles is ready to come in. That's a huge piece of evidence. We're everywhere. We're scattered everywhere. The time is ready for us to come in. Number three, enviropig and chimeras. For by fire and by his sword and the Lord will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one in the midst, eating swine's flesh, and the abomination and the mouse shall be consumed together, says the Lord. Now, most Bible scholars will agree that this last chapter of Isaiah is about the final judgment of God and the millennial thousand-year reign of the coming Messiah, and that when he comes, people will be eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse consumed together. Just a few years ago, there was a university in Canada called the University of Guelph. Anybody ever heard of that? They created what they call the EnviroPig. It's a pig that grows faster and produces less methane gas, making it cleaner for the environment. They achieved this feat by combining the pig with DNA from a mouse and DNA from E. coli bacteria. E. coli bacteria comes from fecal matter in your intestines. Most animals' intestines. Because of a public outcry on the project, both the FDA and Health Canada shelved the requested approval, and the Canadian university stored the genetic DNA of the project until a later date. Basically, they shelved it. They killed all the pigs, they took the genetic information they had, and they put it on the shelf. But the universities and other agencies have since taken that data off that shelf and are being used to further develop and alter pig DNA with mice DNA along with the DNA of E. coli bacteria. The technological marvel of mixing pig with mice DNA and DNA of E. coli bacteria is something you could only see in these last days. So you have Isaiah 66, verse 17, telling us that in the last days, people are going to be eating swine's flesh with the mouse, with the abomination. I would consider E. coli bacteria from the intestines, you know, and fecal matter an abomination. They're mixing it together. And while the University of Guelph has shelved their data, other people have come and taken their data because it was a huge outcry. They generated a lot of articles about this, and people were upset. And not only that, but a lot of people noticed this verse, you know, when it came out, and they told everybody. Well, if you go online, and I have done this, you will find out that most of the studies, because pigs and mice are some of the most studied animals in science. Whenever they want to do experiments, they usually start with, you know, monkeys sometimes, but also mice and pigs to see how the effects are going to be on humans. Well, they are using all kinds of studies out there, especially for food production, and they're using mice DNA and pig DNA to put it together. In these last days, right now. It's never happened before. I mean, is this that verse? To me, it sounds like it. It matches up pretty close. That's number three. Number two, the Rosetta Stone Age. And the Lord said, behold, the people are one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. Think of this. All of humanity has been divided by speech since Genesis. God specifically says that this language division, excuse me, God is specific, and he says that this language division is to keep man from doing whatever we can imagine to do. That's amazing. Today, you have devices such as the Pilot and also all kinds of computer programs, your phones and laptops, to overcome most language obstacles. Even Google has translation ability built into its search engine that translates in real time. It's safe to say that the barrier God placed upon humanity back in Genesis has been removed or soon will be. That's amazing. I'm talking to people in South Africa whose original heritage is from like Britain and Dutch, the Netherlands, right? That's amazing. There's language barriers now that have been broken down. And I'm just going by what some of you have told me, but I know you guys watch a lot of American movies, and some of you learned your languages from schools and American movies and things like that. So, I mean, there's a language barrier that's been broken down that God put up. We didn't do it on purpose. It's just something that happened. But isn't that amazing that almost everyone on the earth can communicate today? You have those projects, you probably saw those videos on YouTube about CERN and the projects they're doing over there. It's like 22, 36 nations, whatever it is, all coming together. Nations that 200 years ago had major language differences that today no longer exist. But they can build gigantic science experiments, whether they're good or bad, you decide. And they can all do it together with no language barriers. That's amazing. That's the world we live in right now that has never existed before in times past. Yeah, today you have genetic experiments and government projects like CERN that involve dozens of countries and their top scientists. There are no language barriers in these projects. The last time humanity had the ability to communicate without obstruction, the creator of heaven and earth decided to step in. Man will do whatever they imagine to do. The creator of heaven and earth decided to step in. With the removal of the language barrier so close to becoming a reality, the involvement once again by our Heavenly Father must be close at hand. He can't be sitting back and not paying attention because we're in the exact spot that we were back then, right now. Number one reason we're in the last days, return of obedience. It was prophesied by Jacob, Moses, and the prophets that those of Israel would be conquered and scattered thin among the nations of the Gentiles. They were conquered because of their disobedience, adhering and doing the commandments. statutes and the judgments of God. But one day they would again turn their hearts to God and begin to be obedient. That time is now. And it talks about, starting at Deuteronomy 4:27, "And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. But if from thence you shall seek the Lord and come back, coming back, thou shalt find him, and if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul, when thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon you, even in the latter days, if you turn to the Lord thy God and shall be obedient unto his voice." Let's go over to Deuteronomy 30. "And it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon you, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, and you shall call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord thy God has driven you." You know, nations like South Africa, the United States, all these places that our fathers had not known. "And it shall return unto the Lord thy God, and shall obey his voice, and according to all that I command thee this day, you and your children with all your heart and with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations, like South Africa, like the United States, whither the Lord thy God has scattered you." You ever notice how many if conditional statements, if else, if then statements are in the Bible? I mean, for you, any of you developers out there, encoders, programmers, you're familiar. I see some hands. Yeah. You're familiar with if else statements. If this, else that. If this, then that. You know, you can't get the then or the else unless if gets accomplished first. Well, what do we see here today? We see a bunch of people gathered together wanting to hear and obey. There is a huge movement growing among the people of the world to once again hear the words given by God to Moses and to return to those ways, to begin to obey the commandments, statutes, and the judgments. So much so that Christianity doesn't know what to do. Leadership in Christianity is beside itself trying to address this problem. And trust me, it goes all the way up in Christianity. I'm talking about Rome. You know, they understand what's going on. They hear the departure from these churches, from the pastors who are talking about Christmas. Yeah, you got one segment of the population of the atheists who are saying, "Oh, Christmas wasn't religious to begin; it wasn't Christian to begin, to begin with." That's true. But then you have the other segment of people who are saying, "You know, we shouldn't be doing this at all. We should be keeping the feast of God." They're hearing that; they know it. To keep the feast that God says are His and throw off the feast of Rome. They are realizing that our Messiah, when he was on this earth, spoke the words of Moses and taught his followers to keep the commandments of God and to throw off the traditions and doctrines of man. So the number one scriptural proof that we are living in the last days is a simple fact that people are coming back to the commandments of God to be obedient to the fullness of his Torah. The most number one evidence we have is sitting right here in this room, all of you. You are the best evidence that we are living in the last days. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. It wouldn't be ready yet. It wouldn't be time yet. In the last days, my people will seek my face. They'll find it. I'll hear them. I'll answer their call, answer their cry, and I'll bring them back. I'll regather them from the nations I sent them to. I mean, you are it. You're the number one piece of evidence. That's amazing. All right, let me pray. Abba, we've had a great conference, and now we're going to go to questions and answers, and we just ask your blessing on all the people here who've come, and we've seen your miracles while we've been here, and just the rain, and just so many great things. And I know I'm going to go back uplifted and excited and full of hope. And so I just pray that upon everyone else as well, that we could have a positive time here, and that our time here would be just would bring forth excitement and encouragement as we go back home. Let us go back home. Let us network while we're here, and let's look forward to how we continue to build on what has been started here today and what others have done before us. Let us continue to build your nation so that we can prepare your bride to be ready to be moved home. Father, we ask your blessing on the people here, the safe travels that will follow. We know that that will happen. And Father, we just ask all of it in the name of Yeshua. Amen.